Chapter 83. The Three Rangers were good. Very good. The phone was a traditional old item with a big metal bell inside, which rang for a whole lazy second before adding a reverberation tail that took another whole lazy second to die away, whereupon the sequence would repeat itself endlessly until either the call was answered or the caller gave up. An old-fashioned, comforting sound, familiar for 100 years. But on this occasion, before the first ring was halfway over, all three rangers were in motion. The guy directly to my left was instantly on his feet, lunging behind me, putting big hands on my shoulders, pressing me down into my seat, hauling me back past the vertical, keeping me in a weak and inefficient position. The sergeant opposite me was instantly leaning forward, grabbing my wrists, pressing them into the tabletop with the flat of his hands. The third guy came up out of his chair and balled his fists and blocked the aisle, ready to hit me anywhere he could if I moved. A fine performance. I offered no resistance. I just sat there. Everyone has a plan, me included. The phone rang on. 3 rings later, the waitress came out of the kitchen. She paused a beat and took one look, and then pushed past the ranger in the aisle and headed for the phone. She picked up and listened, then glanced my way and started talking, looking at me the whole time, as if she was describing my current predicament to someone. To Francis Nagley, I assumed, or I hoped. The waitress listened again for a moment, and then trapped the phone between her ear and her shoulder and took out her order pad and her pen. She started writing, and kept on writing, practically an essay. She started a second page. The guy behind me kept the pressure on. The sergeant kept hold of my wrists. The third guy moved closer. The waitress made shapes with her mouth as she concentrated on spelling unfamiliar words. Then she stopped writing and checked back through what she had, and she swallowed once and blinked twice, as if the next part of her task was going to be difficult. She hung up the phone. She tore out her 2 written pages and held them as if they were hot. She took a step toward us. The guy behind me took his weight off my shoulders. The sergeant let go of my wrists. The third guy sat down again. The waitress walked the length of the aisle right into our little group, a fifth member, and she shuffled 1 written page on top of the other, and she checked the 3 guys' collars, and she focused on the sergeant, the man in charge. She said,
"I have a 2-part message for you, sir."
The guy nodded at her, and she started reading. She said,
"First, whoever you are, you should let this man go immediately, for both your own sake and the Army's, because, second, whoever you are, and whatever your orders, and whatever you think on this occasion, he's likely to be right, and you're likely to be wrong. This message comes from an NCO of equal rank, with nothing but the Army's and your best interests at heart."
Silence. The sergeant said,
"Noted."
Nothing more. Nagley, I thought. Good try. Then the waitress leaned forward and put her 2nd handwritten page face down on the table and slid it toward me, fast and easy, the same way she had slid 1,000,000 diner checks before. I trapped it under my left palm and kept my right hand ready. No one moved. The waitress stood still for a second, and then she walked back to the kitchen. I used the ball of my left thumb and curled the top of the paper upward, like a guy playing poker, and I read the 1st 2 lines of my message. 7 words. The first of them was a Latin preposition. Typical Nagley. Per, meaning, in this context, according to. The next 6 words were United States Marine Corps Personnel Command, which meant that whatever information was contained in the rest of the note had come straight from the horse's mouth,
It would be reliable. It would be definitive. It would be solid gold. It would be good enough for me. I let the top of the paper slap back down against the tabletop. I spread my thumb and my first two fingers and pincered them together and folded the note one-handed, blank side out, message side in. I crisped the fold with my right thumbnail and jammed the note in my right top pocket, behind Monroe's little black book, below my name tape. 9:10 in the evening. I looked at the ranger sergeant and said, "Okay, you win. Let's go to Kellum."